Hey, thanks for downloading the podcast. If you want to listen live, all you have to do is download the iHeartRadio app and search for Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Also, if you want to catch this show on video, be sure to check out Zumo TV, channel 719. That's where you can find Sports Grid's Fantasy Sports Network. Enjoy the show, and thanks so much for listening.
All right, welcome in hour number two here on the grid of the early line. Joe Ranieri, Dane Martinez here as we continue to take a look here at the world of sports. A lot of ifs, ands, or buts. But one thing that with a lot of uncertainty surrounding just about everything here in the world, sports included, we do know of one thing, and that will be there is an NFL draft coming up. And that we can be certain of end of April, and I can't believe it's already April 1st, which is kind of crazy here, but yes.
This is all a joke, though, right, Joe?
Yeah. Oh,
this
it's ha-ha.
Yeah. April Fool's?
Yes. Ha-ha, ha-ha, here's a vaccine, ha-ha. Like, oh, my word. Like, I can't even believe. And it seems like March was forever. And it really does. It just seems like it was like March 97th. Just feels like there was 90 days in March. It really, really does. But here we are. We're in April, and of course, we continue to push ahead, look ahead, and glass will remain half full with us, and the NFL as well, as they continue to do business as usual, but a little different look in the draft this year, Dane. And we've been speculating as to, well, how is this going to work? Like, what is it going to look like? So we have an idea, a little bit of a better idea of what this draft is going to be. And in fact, how the top prospects in this 2020 draft, how are they going to get incorporated? You know, they're not there, obviously. Then nobody's in Vegas doing this. But it does feel that they, or at least what we're being told, is that they've gone ahead and invited the top draft picks. And I'm sure they have a pretty good idea of the ones that are going to go in the first round. There's always a surprise here or there. But for the most part, so the players aren't traveling to Vegas. We get this, right? But they are going to receive a draft package in the mail. Their families are going to receive the draft package in the mail from the NFL. And that will obviously include, and I'm assuming, things like, you know, the setup and everything else for them to be able to connect right into the NFL via Skype and Zoom and those types of things. So they will have video, social media. I mean, they'll basically have these guys all wired up, ready to rock and roll for the for this thing. They'll also, I believe, and there's always the question of jerseys and those types of things. I am sure all of that will follow, of course, as it moves along, that they'll get more and more packages from the NFL so they can get the pictures and all of that. But this is going to be, there's virtual interviews going on right now, Dane, right? Teams, they've kind of opened up the door, allowing teams to talk to guys as much as you want. You want them on Skype, spend 5 hours with them on Skype. Like, do what you've got to do until you are comfortable with your, you know, prospects. And they've been doing that. I think they'll continue to do that. The medical is obviously a little hazy for some of these players, but you and I both agree that they are pretty resourceful. If they want to know what the medical is for Tua, they'll know what the medical is for Tua. You know what I mean? They will figure it out. But it'll be interesting. I mean, it will be a show, and not unlike many shows that you see, including here on this network, where there'll be a lot of communication via Skype. There'll be, you know, there'll be the host. They'll be in one location or multiple locations. And then, of course, they will... it's going to be tricky from when the card gets delivered, right? Like, when the card gets submitted, and the producers are going to be working their asses off, because they got to get it to the
right.
The card has to correspond to the right person on the other end.
Name again? Oh, okay, yeah, right. Let's get him on the
exactly.
line.
Like, oh, dear, what's that, number 12? What? So it's going to be interesting, and I'm sure there'll be a few hiccups, but for the most part, that's the process going to be. So we will be in the living rooms of the players and at least their families of those in the first round, I would assume. So it will be very much like what we're used to seeing right now anyway, just not the fanfare of it being in Vegas.
It won't be an event that hundreds of thousands of people go to attend, but I made this point earlier in the week, Joe. It's only been a few years since this has been a traveling show. Literally, maybe 5 years ago, they changed it from being at Radio City Music Hall every year to kind of be this fan fest atmosphere. I think another element that has been added recently is the kind of, and it's crazy to say this, but like the fashion element of this all, right? When these guys walking across the red carpet and stuff, that is relatively new. So it can happen. Joe, the word that comes to mind when you talked about this was like, it's a virtual green room,
that's
right?
Yep.
That's what it is. You had what, the top maybe 15, 20 guys that were going to get drafted in round one,
that's correct,
waiting there at the arena to walk over, shake Roger Goodell's hand and hold up a jersey. Okay. And now that's just going to look different. Those same 20 guys, 25 guys, projected first round picks, they will be on the line, you know, in some kind of teleconference. And here's the other thing I think will come in this packet that you're talking about, Joe. It's very simple. What will happen is there will be, you know, hats of all 32 teams mailed to you, right? And I'm reminded of like when high school kids declare for school and college, right? They've got like three hats in front of them. They pick one and wear it.
That's
you know,
correct.
All that's good. That's what's going to happen. You're going to see Joe Burrow on Skype wearing a Bengals hat. That's all. You're going to see Chase Young on Skype wearing a Washington hat or whatever those things may be. And I think the other thing that I've started to hear is that the NFL is now open to like deputizing third party local doctors.
That's correct.
Being able to do kind of the once over on some of these players that are in, you know, the same geography and then sending the results. Like they're identifying, you know, approved, shall we say, doctors in all of these cities near these universities, wherever the players are, to still try to find that out. So you're right. There are ways to get it done. And in the same way, a Tiger versus Phil golf event would be really to be produced on TV to provide entertainment.
Right.
That same thing the NFL draft is. They've always done it. They've added more to the entertainment elements. Because I always say this, Joe, back in the early 80s, it was just the annual selection meeting at a Marriott in New York.
That's correct. They've added
production element to production element to entertainment factor.
Yep.
And they're just going to figure out a new way to do that.
Yeah, we got 50 or so prospects possibility, obviously, going in that first round or early second round. And they will, they'll have an opportunity to be heard from. So while it's not going to be the usual party, we'll still be able to hear from those prospects. We'll still also be able to see, they'll have communication with the reaction and the family and obviously that. Coaches, general managers, owners will have some insight there. We'll be able to see those kinds of congratulatory when they get the, when they're notified, that kind of thing. So maybe even a little bit more access this year than in most. So it'll be fun. It'll be a good time to see it. It'll be here in a couple of weeks, guys. Before we know it, the 23rd will be here. And like we've told you, plenty of opportunity to get yourself prepared. A lot of prop bets coming up. A lot of teams, certain needs, very specific needs that can be addressed in this draft. So the first round is very important to a lot of teams at this particular point here, Dane. And certainly those looking for that new, shall we say, that new player, that new franchise, face of the franchise, which, if we're being honest here, this is a transition year for a lot of teams. New beginnings for some, new old beginnings for some, but new beginnings for others, including New England, who I don't know is going to be able to reshape their franchise with the number 23 pick. But I think it'll be very interesting to see what they do with that pick and how they address, you know, the current needs that they have on that roster. It's going to be a lot of fun here over the next 3.5 weeks trying to put it all together and figure it out. There's going to be disappointment. And, Dane, there's always going to be that one player that is going to just everyone's going to go, who is that? Like what is that? You know what I mean? And the question is, where does that happen in the draft? And then I'll give you another one, Dane. Who is going to be that one player where their Twitter account from 7 years ago when they were eight years old is going to be that? Who is that? Where is that going to come up along?
You know, and here's the funny part. You know, when you say that, the immediate thing that comes to my mind is a player who was down by you in Miami, Laremy Tunsil.
Yes.
What was that, Joe? Remember that? Like 10 minutes before the draft. And this was a guy who was going to be the number one overall pick. as an offensive tackle. Literally, it was posted of him getting high with a gas mask like 10, 15 minutes before the draft. So,
that's
yes,
correct.
That will happen. And the funny part is, you know, that would almost be like, I don't want to say vindication, but for these GMs who are like worried about having the draft and worried about being able to do their due diligence on these players that they may go ahead and spend the kind of draft capital or resources to go ahead and pick.
Yep.
It's gonna happen. You're right. Either they said something insensitive 20 years ago or 15 years ago, had a Halloween costume in blackface.
That's where,
you know, where have an ex-girlfriend that comes out of the woodwork somewhere. It is going to happen. But hopefully these GMs, you know, take the time right now to go through all these kids' old Twitter feeds and do the interviews because they can't have them in person. So they got to, you know, they got to leave no stone unturned.
It's interesting, too, that and a couple of the headlines that came out, guys, we know that it looks like NBC and CBS are going to go ahead and get the two extra wild card games that would be available. There was some question about what network, the NFL network, who does it. It looks like NBC and CBS have gotten the bid there, and so they'll carry those extra games. And I love what – did you see what Sean Payton said? And I love this. I love this because I think this is just setting the stage for what they're going to do in this draft or some of the moves that they make. He made the comment about Taysom Hill seeing himself as a starting quarterback, and he also followed that with, and so do we. Which I find hysterical because there is a lot of question, obviously. What do you do? They re-sign Drew Brees, right? So they place the first-round tender on Taysom Hill. They get rid of Teddy Bridgewater or don't sign him, right? Let Teddy Bridgewater go on. So there is a lot of – there's a lot of feel-good with Taysom Hill here, and I love the kinds of misdirection here that teams play this time of year. I don't buy it. I don't think they think Taysom Hill is the future franchise quarterback in any way, shape, or form. Otherwise, you don't bring back a 41-year-old Drew Brees
and
basically beg him to come back. I don't think they believe Teddy Bridgewater was the quarterback that they were going to be comfortable with moving forward. Game manager, not exactly a great fit, I think, with Sean Payton. And as much as I love Taysom Hill, he is a football player. And that's exactly what he is. Being a franchise quarterback and a great football player are two different things. He's saying the right thing, giving the impression that we've got our guy because a lot of people are like, well, who's going to be his backup? Like, what, you know, what happens? He's 41. What happens if he gets hurt?
That's right.
I interesting draft for the Saints to see what kind of moves they make. And it'll be interesting. Don't forget, there's another quarterback still available out there, too. His name is Winston, I think, Jameis.
There's a few.
Winston.
There's one named Winston. There's one named Newton. There's one named Dalton. And there's others if you want to go even further down the line.
Yep.
Absolutely. And I think you bring up a good point with Taysom Hill. I've been saying this for a while, Joe. I think it's not even when we talk about next year or what happens after Drew Brees. I'm talking about this year right now.
Yes.
If Taysom Hill is actually your QB2,
okay.
He wasn't last year. They had Teddy Bridgewater there, okay?
Yep.
If Taysom Hill is actually your backup quarterback and your starting quarterback is 40 years old or whatever, right? I'm sorry, Joe, but you cannot have him on the punt return team.
Yes.
You cannot have him blocking punts and doing end arounds because the thing is, you can't risk Taysom Hill getting injured because he's actually one play away from being your starting quarterback.
That's correct.
In a way that was never the case last year when you had Teddy Bridgewater as the insurance policy. Drew Brees is now another year older, right? He was out for some time last year, although he's been durable for most of his career. But, you know, your backup quarterback, you have to keep healthy.
That's
you can't
correct.
Risk him being, like you say, and I think it's a great term, you know, whether it's the Swiss Army knife or just the football player. Joe, they literally had him playing running back, quarterback, wide receiver, and he was a major part of special teams.
I agree.
Okay, he blocked the punt that, you know, in a playoff game or whatever it was.
Yep.
They can't risk him in that way if he's actually their second quarterback. So you're right. I think the Saints are another team that really has to consider quarterback, whether that's a guy like Jordan Love or whether that's a guy that, you know, they in the second round or the reason that over 4.5 quarterbacks in the first round is a smart bet.
I'm not buying it. I think there is, and you're right, Dane, there is a lot of reasons. Listen, is he a guy that, could he go under a snap in a case of emergency? Absolutely.
Yes.
But
yes.
You can't risk a 41-year-old quarterback getting hurt. And then all of a sudden you lose that weapon. And I know they've got a lot of weapons. You know, Michael Thomas, come on, I get it. But
sure.
You can't lose that kind of Swiss Army knife that you can't if you have to worry about there being a backup quarterback situation. I think this is just a calming kind of statement. And we see this from a lot of teams. I'm not interested. I'm not. And then next thing you know, they're totally interested or they're moving up. But I do find it fascinating with the guys that are still out there. And I think, and correct me if I'm wrong here, Dane, I don't think Cam Newton, Winston, Dalton at this particular point, I don't think it makes any sense for anybody to sign right now. I do think after the draft,
yes,
and seeing who gets what and who does what, I think the path for all of them will be a little bit clearer there. But I do think Cam Newton deserves an opportunity, obviously, to be a starter. I don't know that that's going to happen in New Orleans, but I do think Jameis Winston with an opportunity to be able to push the ball downfield. It will be interesting to see if he gets a phone call from Sean Payton sometime in the future.
Yeah, you know, I think you're right, first of all, that at this point in the marketplace, right, I don't think these guys are getting signed right now.
Right.
Okay, they're going to have to wait until after the draft. The draft is the next thing to see, do people get what they want? And to be quite honest, not only at the quarterback position, right? At a number of positions, whoever these free agents are out there, they're now kind of in a holding pattern until the draft happens to see what teams address their needs and what teams kind of lost out on it. And that's what I was saying before about, like, there's a reason why maybe the Panthers couldn't trade Cam Newton.
Right.
But obviously Cam Newton is viable to be signed, whether a team views him as competition or an outright starter. I know there may not be many starting quote-unquote openings left, but here's the thing.
Because when we come back, I want to ask you where he's going, because there's even more rumors being floated around. We'll do that coming up next year on The Grid.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, welcome back in here to The Grid. It is SportsGrid.com. Joe Ranieri, Dane Martinez, the early line, as we do our best here to bring you the latest information in the world of sports, around the world of sports. And the information is still coming in here. And although we're not playing any games right now, there are plenty of things to be decided. And the one thing, I guess, in a very uncertain world that we live in, Dane, one thing we know for sure is that it may not be tomorrow, may not be the next day, may not be a month, might be 2 months, who knows. But sports is coming back. It is coming back. It will come back bigger and stronger. It'll come back with a renewed, I think, interest from a lot of different fans. I think the opportunity of new fans in this particular time, I think a lot of these sports will see new fans that they did not. And depending on what comes back first and you know, who can get themselves back on the field, the court, the golf course, whatever it is, the arena, there are going to be some interesting the ramifications of this when it does come back, I think, is while it sucks now and millions and billions of dollars are being lost, I do think in the long run, this is a opportunity for some of these sports that when they do come back to kind of flourish a little bit and take another step, especially like we talked here during the show about the, if you come back of shortened seasons, what do you do? Different playoff formats. You've got a captive audience right now, like any business and entertainment. You got a captive audience and the ability to be able to capitalize on that. is going to be important. And I do think at some point, and we know it's coming back, and whether it's 6 months, a year, 5 weeks, whatever it is, there is going to be a very captive audience available for some of these sports. And I think it's a big opportunity for them as well.
Yeah, it absolutely is. You know, Joe, something you probably never have to deal with down there in Florida, you know, and it's right around now, right? We're at the beginning of April. It is always here in New York City. There is always one day that everybody realizes, like, this is the first really nice springtime day, right?
Right.
And the parks and outside get flooded with people, right? And the same thing is going to happen whenever that day is that sports kind of returns,
right?
Sports fans are going to flood it, whether that's watching it on TV, betting on it. It's the same kind of thing. You know, we've been kind of hibernating for so long without sports. And like you said, whether it's 5 weeks or 3 months or whatever the case may be, when it comes back, everyone's going to have an appetite for it.
Yes, absolutely. And it's going to be a lot of fun to see. And that's why it's important for business to continue as usual, certainly for teams like leagues like the NFL. And when we were talking, we were speaking about Cam Newton and how I do think, listen, Jameis has got to come to the realization that he's probably going to be a backup here at this point, right? With an opportunity somewhere down the line, I am sure to
compete, maybe. Yeah,
absolutely. You know, Ryan Tannehill,
all the time. Yeah.
Right? You know, even Mariota is going through that right now, same type of situation. But I do think Cam Newton is somebody that does have and should have an opportunity to be able to start somewhere. And I saw a video on him. We're starting to see more and more video of Cam Newton.
Right.
And he looks absolutely shredded, guys. I mean, he looks certainly looks healthy. Now, the Liz Frank injury, of course, is not the healing time is a little bit more. But everything that we're seeing from Cam Newton, including a very pissed off demeanor, feeling that he got locked out exactly from Carolina there and that he got pushed out, is not sitting well with him. And if he's got a little bit left in the tank, I think Cam deserves an opportunity to be able to start somewhere. Where that may be, I don't think is going to take shape for him until after the draft. But you were talking about it. I mean, listen, he is, and if I'm a team where maybe I don't get the guy, you know what I mean, that I want, and maybe I'm looking to next year's draft, Cam Newton for a 2 or 3 year situation, I think you can do worse. I really do. I think you can do a heck of a lot worse. So where do you see Cam Newton? How do you see it unfolding for him? Because the videos, they're a hell of a lot more impressive than what we've seen from Tua.
Yeah, and as you know, that's a great comparison. And I saw more than 10 seconds of Cam Newton, and I actually saw the passes he's throwing land in the hands of a wide receiver 10, 20 yards downfield. Absolutely. Joe, you know this. I have been higher on Cam Newton than many other people out there. I think he has gotten a raw deal on a number of levels. If you ask me, if he is healthy, is he a starting quarterback in the NFL? Automatically, the answer is yes. Yeah. I defy someone to tell me not only is he a starting quarterback, but he's probably better than the starting quarterbacks of 10 to 15 teams in the NFL. And anyone who thinks that if he is healthy, that's not true, that's another topic for another day, okay?
Correct, yeah.
And you're right. He still has – Joe, there's still, what, 5 months until the NFL season would happen. So if what I saw on Instagram is happening now, I'm comfortable and confident. Remember, Joe, there were times where he was going to be cleared to play around week 11 or 12 last year.
That's correct.
While an experiment was still going on, okay? But you asked, where could he wind up? The first thing I would say is we have to wait until the draft, right? Because there are some teams that we know are going to prioritize the draft as their solution to the quarterback situation, whether that's a team like the Chargers, whether that's a team like the Dolphins, whether that's potentially a team that's getting an incumbent like Pittsburgh or Vegas, who knows, right? But we also know there will be teams that don't get to address their need, either because a team traded up above them to go snatch a quarterback, or they were just left holding the bag in one way, shape, or form. And then is when I think Cam Newton's phone rings. Yep. Like if the Chargers, for example.
Yep.
A lot of people believe the Dolphins and the Chargers at number 5 and number 6 are probably, we talked about this, right? Maybe they're happy to go either or with Tua or Justin Herbert. And that's the way a lot of people project it right now.
Right.
But who knows? Maybe the Patriots trade up to number 3 to get the guy they like, and the Chargers then at 6 are left holding the bag.
Yes.
Right? Yep. And do they accept going down to draft like Jordan Love, or do they say no, no, no? In this scenario, Cam is the best option because that roster is ready without a quarterback to win right now. Look at their defense, look at their playmakers. Yep. So that's an idea. So I think the teams like the Dolphins, like the Chargers, who are still quarterback needy, and we think they will address it in the draft, is the places to go. The other place I think, and this is, you know, if you look at the markets on FanDuel, whether it be Cam Newton or Jameis Winston, one of the other teams that's out there, Joe, are teams that are kind of handing the keys to the car to a young quarterback, but we don't truly know yet. And top of that list to me are the Jacksonville Jaguars, Joe. Okay, I understand you don't want the contract of Nick Foles there anymore. You want to have Minshew Mania and the mustaches, but there is a chance, right, Joe, that the sixth round pick falters, regresses, is proven to not truly be the guy. And in that situation, wow, wouldn't it be great to have a guy like Cam Newton? I think a team like Jacksonville is in that situation. And to a lesser extent, teams like Denver with Drew Lock, teams like Washington with Dwayne Haskins, although maybe not, they've already made their decision. But those are the other teams I would look to, teams that are going to the young quarterback, but it's not fully sold just yet. Yep. And New England's in that category as well.
Yeah, and I think, in all honesty, I think that the Patriots are still in play for Cam Newton, and I think they should be. And it would not at all surprise me to see the Bill Belichick be able to work that out or get that back. Cam Newton would not be the first guy to people where they stuck a fork in him, gave up, and still had a few years left in the tank to push forward. Because just think about that, guys, with, Josh McDaniel with a Cam Newton style quarterback that he drafted Tim Tebow, guys, when he was with Denver. He's always wanted that kind of quarterback. Like, he's always wanted for his offense that kind of quarterback.
Yes.
And he's had, getting Tom Brady is a consolation prize, not bad. But as an OC, he is somebody that has always wanted that, thought he could do more with that. So who better than Cam Newton? Like, I can't honestly see, and not to mention, you want to talk about rejuvenate a fan base and a hated franchise, and man, oh man, who better to go to if I'm Cam Newton than go to Bill Belichick and all of them? That entire franchise will have a chip on their shoulder going into the season saying, you all think we suck, right? I mean, I can only imagine what that might be like if that's possible. And I think after the draft, if there is no quarterback taken in that draft for New England, guys, nothing against Jarrett Stidham. Nobody's done a better job than New England of prepping quarterbacks for the NFL. I mean, they have hit on more quarterbacks, guys, in Bill Belichick's era that have gone on to be starters and had some, you know, again, you're not going to get better than Tom Brady, but, you know, you go down the list. Jimmy Garoppolo right now made it to a Super. That was all dread. That was Belichick. I mean, you know, you go down the list, Mallett. I mean, he brought in all of these guys that served these great purposes. And Hoyer, they all served a purpose.
Castle got paid.
And Castle. Nobody's done. I mean, Belichick's a defensive guy, but when you look at the history of Belichick in New England, look at all the quarterbacks that they've come out of there. Again, none of them ever got to go with New England because Tom Brady was there. But don't forget, it started with Tom Brady. Tom Brady was a six-round pick, guys. What? Nobody wanted him. Like, so it's
Bledsoe was there, right?
Exactly. So it's kind of, I don't think they get enough credit. And if, and not, that's what I'm saying is I'm not sticking a fork in Jarrett Stidham. Obviously, I think they might have gone in a different direction with Tom Brady had they not had at least this much confidence in him. But the truth is, if there's no quarterback taken by Belichick in this draft, guys, to me, it won't be long before Cam Newton is on the phone with Bill Belichick and they're working something out to get him in there, even if it's on a one-year deal.
Sure.
And give Stidham an opportunity. I got no problem with
that.
Like
a prove-it kind of deal. Remember, Cam is, 29, 30 years old, the same age as Andrew Luck when he walked away, Rob Gronkowski, Doug Baldwin, and others. And we talked about how he has opportunities, but the timing is the whole part of this, Joe.
That's correct.
Because they couldn't trade him, fine. But now, when the teams see their needs and kind of reset or recalibrate after the draft, you know what you also will have the ability to do? One, give Cam your own physical.
That's correct.
Okay? That you couldn't do in these times when a trade needed to happen. You know what else you can do? Renegotiate a new contract,
right?
And make it as incentive laden or 1 year prove it as you want. Joe, I want to give you something. There's ways we can make money off this, okay? And I want to put it to you. One, you know our friends over at FanDuel, they do have odds for who will be the Patriots starting quarterback. Cam Newton is one of those choices, albeit like the fourth or fifth choice at 9-1, okay? But I have a different
idea. Makes me like it even more. Go ahead.
What's up?
Which makes me like it even more. Exactly. That's exactly what Belichick does.
I got a different one, though, Joe. I'm telling you, and I really like this. Tell me I'm crazy. I don't know. Okay. Because I do believe, and it sounds like you do too, that when the dust settles and the kind of phases of the calendar happen, Cam Newton will have a chance to be a starting quarterback in the NFL this season.
I agree.
Okay. Yep. He's going to have that opportunity. If he doesn't, oh boy, am I going to get upset. But that's besides the point. And you said this, he has a chip on his shoulder, right?
Yep.
And we've talked about it before. He needs to evolve his game a little bit. Whether he will or not is up for grabs.
That's correct.
But let's just say he'll be a starting quarterback and he'll have a chip on his shoulder. Joe, our friends at FanDuel have come out with odds for the NFL Comeback Player of the Year this year, okay? And what if I told you that Cam is the fifth choice for that award? I think Cam should be the favorite for that award, if you want to know the truth.
I agree.
He'll be a starting quarterback with a chip on his shoulder. And let's not forget, this man is 4 years removed from being the MVP, taking his team to a 15-1 record and the Super Bowl.
I agree.
He's the fifth choice for NFL Comeback Player of the Year. Can I give you the four that are in front of him and the numbers and see if this is the value?
Go.
All right. So he's the fifth choice, Joe, at plus 750.
Okay. Wow.
All right.
Okay.
At 6-1 is Nick Foles. I'll take Cam over Nick Foles.
Absolutely.
Right?
Absolutely. Yes.
I think that's better value. Okay.
And also, I don't even know what team Cam's on, and I still like it better than Nick Foles in Chicago. Yep.
I got more faith that Cam Newton will be a starting quarterback week one than Nick Foles in a competition against Trubisky.
Correct.
I don't know. Okay, here's another one. Also at 6-1, Joe, AJ Green. Now that's possible. He could have a big bounce back year, but the man is over 30 as a wide receiver, and he's playing on a team with likely a rookie quarterback and growing pains. Mm-hmm. And as we know, Joe, in all these awards are quarterback friendly, are they not?
Yes, absolutely.
So, while I give you that AJ Green is a great player and could bounce back, I don't know that I'd like him at that number better than Cam Newton. Okay? The second choice, Joe, at 5-1, maybe you like this one better, J.J. Watt. Now, here's the thing, Joe. You can't trust J.J. Watt to play 16 games next year.
No.
You know, and he would have to have a huge season, a defensive player.
Right.
You tell me if Cam Newton's a starting quarterback and has, like, a good season. He doesn't have to be a, you know, I'd have him ahead of J.J. Watt. So the fact that he's plus 750 and the favorite for this award, Joe, I know we only got a couple minutes, and this is where I think you actually have to come back down to it, but the value is still with Cam.
Go ahead.
Cam is at plus 750. Can you guess who the favorite is? It's plus 250. Can you guess?
For comeback player, I'm going to guess Tom Brady. I don't know. Who is it?
Big Ben. It's Big Ben.
Oh, that's okay. Right. And
sure. But I'd rather the 30-year-old coming back than the 38-year-old coming back, if you want to know the truth. And you get Big Ben at plus 250. You get Cam at plus 750, Joe.
Yep.
I might put a couple of shekels because I have more faith in Cam than most.
And again, we don't even know what Cam's team is going to be. And I think a lot of that is obviously going to be dependent. But I almost don't think it matters at this particular point because the only teams that he would be able to start on are going to be significantly that much better if he's healthy. And maybe that's the biggest problem with being his bet. And not from the foot injury, guys. Let us not forget, you know, he's 26 surgeries into that shoulder. You know, so, I mean, I know that's a big concern for a lot of teams, especially in this NFL, where they want to push the ball down the field, which is, I'll go back again, why I love New England's dink and dunk. Find the open guy, get rid of the ball. Cam Newton doesn't get hit, but you got to still respect his ability to be able to run the ball. I find it fascinating that if healthy, there are odds like that out there that I think Cam Newton should be absolutely considered in the fall when you consider the teams that he might even play for.
Right.
Any of those teams.
The Chargers, Patriots.
He's got a chance of making the playoffs with the Patriots. That we know. Yeah. But even with the other teams, the lesser
Chargers,
teams.
Maybe.
Chargers, maybe. If it's, you know, we'll talk more about that. Plus the latest from Tom Brady will give you what he said. And maybe, who knows? You know, maybe Florida could be a destination for him down by my neck of the woods. We'll talk about that next year. Coming up on the show.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, welcome back in here to the grid. It is SportsGrid.com. Joe Ranieri alongside Dane Martinez here as we try to figure out the landing spot for one Cam Newton, who Dane and I both think is setting up here to have quite the comeback year. Even the comeback player of the year odds seem to be pretty favorable. Now, I will give people this. And even I'm sure this is teams are looking at this. We know this much about Cam. We've seen video of him. He's starting to push it out now. So you go to his Instagram, you go to his Twitter, you're going to see a lot of pictures and video of Cam Newton throwing the ball, running, working out. He absolutely looks shredded, looks in great shape. He is pissed off as all hell, feels that Carolina did him dirty on the way out. And he's still on the board. And he is not a guy where everyone's looking for quarterbacks and Cam Newton is still sitting there. He's like, you got to be kidding me. So having said that, of the quarterbacks remaining, Andy Dalton, who I think also would be more than a serviceable starting quarterback for some franchises and an upgrade compared to what some of them are that are out there. I also think Jameis is going to be relegated to that backup role, but he'll have a 15-year career as a backup quarterback in this league, Jameis. No problem at all. And he'll have an opportunity somewhere down the road to be able to start again, I'm sure, much like Mariota in Vegas. But Cam Newton, to me, of the available quarterbacks that were free agents, he's the guy that is going to start now. Like, and he deserves that shot to start now.
As long as he's healthy.
The shoulder injuries and the surgeries over the years, guys, I get it. It's not even, I don't even think it's so much about the Liz Frank injury, the foot injury, as it is the shoulder. Does he have the arm strength? Can he get the ball downfield? I think that's a concern for a lot of teams because that's a lot of wear and tear on that body. But there is no doubting his motive for coming. Now, I would love to see him in New England, right? I would love to see him in New England. You brought up the Chargers possibility out there if they're not sold necessarily on Tyrod. He'd be a great fit with all those weapons out there. And then, of course, the other team that he's been associated with, and I know down here that he has already had, there's been some conversations, and that is Brian Flores would love to get Cam Newton down here in Miami. And follow me along with this.
I'm listening.
As much as we are being fed that Tua and Herbert, Tua and Herbert, they love Tua and Herbert, Tua and Herbert. What if they're not? What if sitting at number five, they are not sold on either? And what if, let's say, Washington decides to go with Tua with the number two pick and screw everybody up? Let's say the Chargers go up to number three with Detroit and pick up Herbert and get their quarterbacks. If I'm sitting Miami at five, and I would have been nice to have them, but I'm not sold really on either, that I would much rather have a 30-year-old, let's say, Cam Newton that's still available at a reduced price and have him come into this Miami and beat his face in this franchise for a couple of years, and then maybe, I don't know, take a quarterback like an Eason or somebody later in the draft. Because you have, I don't know, 14 damn draft picks to do whatever the hell you want. This is a real possibility. I don't know where if Miami's on that list in the pecking order of where he lands. But, guys, that's a real possibility. Flores loves him. The offensive coordinator loves him. And, listen, you've got Fitzpatrick. So having the Cam Newton-Fitzpatrick combo here is your quarterback position is you're fine. You don't have to get a rookie quarterback in the first round. Like, you can actually get whatever the hell you want at number five, especially if they're not in love with either, you know? And I mean in love to go with the number five pick. If you think Cam is out there and Cam's going to remain there, Cam Newton in Miami is a reality to me.
Yeah, I think that's possible. And to your point, yes, Joe, the Dolphins are the third choice in this. Remember, I talked about the Chargers and the Dolphins and then some teams who have kids that maybe they turn the keys over or not, right? So to recap, it is the Chargers are the favorite at minus 150. Then a big jump at plus 470. So almost 5-1 are the Jaguars, who fit that is Minshew really the man category,
and
Miami. And then we get to Denver, New England, and some other squads. Here's what I would say, though, Joe. I think you're right, right? One of these teams may be left holding the bag, not getting the quarterback they want after the draft early on. Might they then draft one of these kids, an Eason, a Fromm, a Hurts?
Exactly correct. Yep.
I mean, if you're going to try and bring in Cam, maybe Jalen Hurts is the kind of quarterback.
Thank you very much. Exactly. You don't have to use a first rounder on him.
Exactly. But here's the thing for me, why, while I accept Miami as a potential, Joe, I still lean towards the Chargers. Here's why. I believe, and correct me if I'm wrong, you're so much more clued in down there in Miami, but I believe Miami is still accepting that they're trusting the process more, right? Mm-hmm. They broke it down. They're playing the long game a little bit more. We know Cam is, you know, kind of pushing 30. He's not necessarily a long-term solution. So I think that Miami, of Miami and the Chargers at least, I think Miami is more likely to get the kid and put him behind Fitzpatrick and develop him. Mm-hmm. Whereas, Joe, and you know I'm a Chargers truther, but you have to acknowledge the Chargers roster is more built to win now.
Right.
Than Miami. Miami's kind of hitting the reset button, dragging, you know, getting picks and that kind of thing, signing some guys in free agency. But it's kind of more acknowledged that it's a longer term process in Miami, whereas the Chargers have a defense that can win right now, have skill players that have been there for years, and Keenan Allen and others. Mm-hmm. I think the Chargers are literally more of a drop the quarterback in as a cherry on top and you potentially have a double-digit winning team, whereas Miami is more of a long game. So for those reasons, I think Miami will take the quarterback, and the Chargers then, when left with, oh, the quarterback we don't love in the draft or Cam Newton, might see Cam as more of a win-now option, and I think the Chargers are a more win-now team than the Dolphins.
It'll be a lot of this all depends on how they feel about this quarterback class and what happens ahead of them. I know this, with 14 draft picks over the next couple of years, guys, they're going to be able to reshape this franchise. And this was a team that a lot of people got burned, you know, at 4.5 wins last year and 5 wins last year, who thought, you know, they hadn't won a game in the first 2 months. And then all of a sudden, they turned it on. So this is a team capable of a heck of a lot more that we know. And with that kind of draft capital and those kinds of assets, it's going to be an interesting next 3 years, I to say the least. And again, depending on what they think of Tua and what they think of Herbert, if they're, let's say, not sold on Herbert and Tua gets drafted ahead of them, what do you want to do? You're going to go chasing now? And with all that draft, first of all, you have the ability, forget about first round, with that much draft capital, you can move up in the second round, or if there is a quarterback or some that you want, you have the opportunity to be able to do it. So I think the flexibility of Miami is fascinating from that standpoint of, and listen, he's 30. Can I get him till 33, 34? Can I,
maybe,
you know?
But we don't know how much tread is still left on that tire.
Right, I mean.
Cam more than most, right?
I would think more than most, but again, not putting all your eggs in that basket, but price. For point, if you get the guy Eason, if you get Hurts, if you get somebody that can follow him over the next 2 or 3 years too, there is some intrigue there. But again, I think a lot of that depends how the draft formulates and what happens in those top. I mean, there are some boards, Dane, all hell could break loose with Washington, where you bring in Kyle Allen, and they're like, well, now we expect Haskins to start. But there are some thoughts that they try to move Haskins prior to during the draft, try to use Haskins as a trade piece and get Tua and get the guy that they want. We're already starting to hear the stories about Herbert, a lot more interest than Tua right now.
Right.
I'd stay for pick. So already it's starting to churn here. The rumor mill starting to turn around here of who, what, where, and how. But I don't know that. As many teams as they're making it seem, I don't know how sold they are on either of those guys right now, and especially the teams that need a quarterback, it'll be interesting to see who's willing to go up or who's willing to stand pat. And does Washington blow the lid off of it and go, I'll take Tua. I'm more sold on Tua than I am on Haskins, because I think they'll find a trade partner for Haskins, no problem. They would they'd find it in a heartbeat.
Listen, it doesn't matter, and we've seen the precedent for this, right? Last year, the Arizona Cardinals traded Josh Rosen
away. And don't forget, Rosen's on Miami, too, so that's another possible trade.
So, like, last year, the Cardinals traded Rosen away, who was a first-round pick, because they thought they had a better franchise quarterback option in front of them. Could Washington do the same thing and move Haskins if they think Tua or Burrow or Herbert is their guy? Absolutely possible. Here's the other thing. You said it. We talked about this at the top, Joe. We're in the time of year right now where everything we hear is a potential smokescreen.
Yes.
Okay, I don't trust anything these teams say. And we've said before that Cam and other NFL quarterbacks are going to have to wait until the market moves after the draft. Everything is still on the table. We don't know, Joe. Like, there's a reason, let's say, why there's a match bet still up on FanDuel of who will get drafted first, Jordan Love or Justin Herbert, okay? It is possible. Do I know? No. Do you know? No. Does the beat writer for the Dolphins know? Not yet. It's all smokescreen right now, Joe. Couldn't it also be possible that the Dolphins, secretly, they like Jordan Love? And then could they draft? Don't they have like 3 first round picks? The Dolphins? What if they drafted him? What's the other one, Joe? 18 or 20 something?
18 and 25. Yep.
There you go. What if the Dolphins are their smokescreen? Is they want everyone to think they're in love with Tua or Herbert, whatever. And at number 5, they draft a stud offensive lineman, or they draft Jeff Okuda, right? Mm-hmm. And then at 18. Love is still there. Or what if they like Eason? And I mean, listen, second and third round quarterbacks are dotted as starters all over the NFL right now. Yep. Okay. Dak Prescott, Russell Wilson, I could go on. Okay. So it's not a lock. We all think because hashtag tank for Tua has been happening for years.
Yep.
That doesn't mean now that that's actually the way it's going to be.
And the presence of having a Jameis Winston and a Cam Newton and an Andy Dalton still on the market is fascinating to me right now.
That's
because, A lot of teams are running out of money, all right? They're available money to be able to spend. Obviously, he's already budgeted. So those that got drafted or those that got in free agency early on were the ones who got the money. Now at this particular point, listen, you guys are going to have to go on structured deals. Nobody's going to pay you what you think you're going to be worth. So this really is kind of a show me kind of pay year for all of those guys. But I do think there are going to be opportunities for them, especially if teams, and again, I'll say this, there's this kid named Trevor Lawrence coming out next that the tank will be on for. But when you have those draft assets, you have that draft capital, you are able to do other things that other teams aren't. So I think it's going to be very interesting to see what the maneuverability of, and I do think the Dolphins sitting at 5, the way it worked out, I think it couldn't have worked out any better for them, the way they've kind of actually put this together. They've already built the secondary now. With having that secondary is just, with Byron Jones coming in now and Xavier Howard, they are going to be, they're really starting to build this thing. That number 5 asset could get them a Simmons.
Sure.
Right? You know what I mean?
An
offense like, it doesn't necessarily have to be quarterback, especially because you have Rosen and Fitzpatrick there. But again, more trade assets that you can use to be able to. It really is amazing the cards the Dolphins hold right now coming up in this draft.
And the fact that this quarterback market before the draft was bigger than ever before, right?
Absolutely.
There were so many opportunities out there. And we've gone through the names and we know kind of who's still out there waiting for the market. And that's like the players have to kind of wait. And the teams hold these cards. You talk about Miami. The Chargers, I really believe, are in a similar boat. Okay, the Chargers, maybe they like those quarterbacks. And maybe they want to take, let's say, Herbert at 6. Mm-hmm. But if they don't, okay, or if those guys are gone or if they're not in love with these guys, remember, there is Cam Newton behind door number 2.
Right.
Okay, and the Chargers could be another kind of team. Right. Let's say, because you know I believe they have a great defense. They added to their defense by signing Chris Harris, in their secondary. could the Chargers be like, you know what? Let's go sign Cam Newton and draft an offensive lineman at six.
Yep.
You know, like, and because these teams, the Dolphins, the Chargers, other quarterback needy teams have flexibility to address it in the draft or in this next kind of wave of veteran NFL-ready quarterbacks, they've got options, and it's all a supply and demand game, Joe. That's what it comes down to.
Well, I can tell you this. They got 14 picks, guys, okay? They are not using 14 picks, okay? They are going to use a significant portion of those picks to go get, and maybe even listen, like we said, the fifth pick, right? They can do whatever the hell they want. If they're not solid quarterback, they can go get an offensive, the best offensive tackle in the game, right? On the board, boom, five, right? Yep. They can then wait at number 18. Maybe there is a stud defensive player, or they want to be able, so they still have the opportunity.
Or Jordan Love could be there.
Or Jordan, if there is, say, exactly, they have the opportunity from 5 to 18 to be able to move up. I mean, it's
options are a beautiful thing.
And they got 26. And, and again, then they still have, they got 11 more draft picks. And I can assure you they won't be using all 11 on rookies. They will be utilizing that plus two quarterbacks with Fitzmagic and Rosen. Yeah, guys. And even Jacksonville, to your point, man, number 9 and number 20 they've got there. Sitting at 9 and sitting at number 20.
They could
obviously need cornerback help. We know that with Bowie and Ramsey gone now. So also Calais Campbell, I believe, also gone now. So
the defensive tackle from Auburn.
Yes, that's correct.
Kind of top defensive lineman. Kind of replace a Calais Campbell. Listen, options are a beautiful thing.
Yeah,
these teams have options still in the free agent market and in the draft market. So we'll see how it goes.
Yeah, it's going to be fun. And then, you know, don't forget, you got Minnesota's got two in the first round late.
Yep.
That they might be able to negotiate with. They need some. You lose Diggs. You got a receiver.
There's a lot of wide receivers out there, Joe.
That's it.
I think they go in there one way or another. Yep. Can I tell you, you're down there. Am I crazy? I feel bad for Josh Rosen.
Mm-hmm.
I do. You know, he gets drafted number 10 overall, right, to Arizona, then gets kind of traded as an afterthought. And it's going to happen again this year, Joe.
Yeah, I don't think it's over for him just yet. I think there are some opportunities for him. But we'll start diving into, obviously, some of these trade-up scenarios throughout the week. We'll take a look at Tom Brady, Tampa, the situation there where he kind of had to sell himself and all of that good stuff. We'll dive into all of that as we move forward with the week. In the meantime, enjoy your day. Be safe, Dane, and I'll be back again tomorrow here on The Grid for the early line. We'll talk to you then.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.